Our gospel lesson this morning is from the book of Mark. We've been studying Mark for the last several weeks, and we continue that today. But listen now for the word of God. He left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense. They took offense at him. And then Jesus says to them, "Prophets are not without honor except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. He was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went out among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and he gave them authority over unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, but no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and to not put on two tunics either. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, then as you leave, shake the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. First of all, I'd like to acknowledge that I found a lot of help for this sermon on the internet this week, and so much of the content comes from that. So, homecoming for Jesus, back to good old Nazareth, where everyone knew his name. They had witnessed him growing up, right? They all knew him, but Jesus didn't receive the kind of reception he expected at his homecoming. You would have imagined that Jesus would have been welcomed as a hero, but instead they treated him like a zero. In Mark, the first six verses in chapter 6, we're talking about his homecoming and the fact that the crowd knew him very well, and they knew his relatives in Nazareth. And only among his hometown, among his own relatives, was in his own house a prophet without honor, is what he said. He couldn't do much there. He couldn't do much because a lot of his miracle making, a lot of the things that he could do to help people, depended on people having faith in him. And if they had no faith, then he couldn't do much. Jesus was amazed by their lack of faith. While his family and friends and neighbors were amazed by his teachings, they didn't know where he got it. But I kind of think this is a lack of judgment by the fine folks of Nazareth. Throughout history, there have been many examples of lack of judgment or misjudgments. And I found a couple of these on the internet. I thought they were kind of interesting, particularly with my background at least. The first one is, "You want to drill for oil? You mean that you want to take my money, drill in the ground, and try to find oil? You're crazy." Well, back in 1859, this was Hibernia Bank's response to Edwin Drake's request to borrow money. And if you recall, Edwin Drake was the first one to actually drill for oil and find it in Pennsylvania. Another one, "That contraption is nothing but a toy. It will never catch on." This is William Orton. He was the president of Western Union, who turned down the opportunity to buy the rights to Alexander Graham Bell's telephone patent in 1876. And now everybody has a cell phone. Yeah, it will never catch on. It'll just explode. Guitar groups, they're on their way out. The man was Dick Rowe of Decca Records, who turned down the Beatles after they auditioned for him in 1962. Maybe he just didn't like rock and roll, but you know, think of where he'd be if he'd have said yes. Or the IBM chairman, Thomas Watson, in 1943, saying, I think there's a world market for maybe 5 computers. Now, in 1943, that may have been quite correct. War going on, terrible things happening, maybe so. But the next one, Ken Olson from Digital Equipment Corp in 1977, said there is no reason that anyone would want a computer in their home. You know, 50 years later, everybody's got a computer in their home. Or a tragic one, they called the Titanic unsinkable. And yet one night in April 1912, it proved everybody wrong. So the people of Nazareth misjudged their hometown boy. They watched him grow up, but they could not accept who he had become. Do we act that way? Could you describe us as being misjudging someone? Afterwards, Jesus sent the disciples out 2 by 2 to proclaim that all should repent. He sent them out without much of anything other than the clothes on their back and the sandals on their feet. Jesus knew the disciples wouldn't be welcomed into every village. So he gave them this advice: if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. He didn't want to punish all the people of the city who rejected them. He just didn't want that kind of dusty, dirty attitude to linger on his disciples. You know what it's like when you get rejected. That affects your confidence. That does all kinds of things to you that are negative. And Jesus didn't want that negativity to follow his disciples around. And yet, too many people are slaves to their past mistakes. The Apostle Paul had once been an enemy of Christ, remember that, when he was Saul, who persecuted and arrested Christians. He stood by while Stephen was stoned to death. Even after he started following Jesus, he faced trouble of all kinds. He was stoned, he was arrested, he was tortured, he was shipwrecked on the island of Malta. And to add insult to injury, while he's making a fire, a poisonous snake bit him on the hand. But you know what Paul did? He shook it off and forgot about it. Everybody expected him to die, but God wasn't finished with him yet. Paul's secret was that he didn't live in the past. He wrote, "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." All of us who are mature should take that kind of view of things, that we're always looking forward. Have you learned to shake the dust off and move on? Some of you are still carrying a load of dirt and dust around today, and you need to shake it off. I'm serious. You need to shake it off. Some of you, younger ones at least, will recognize that as words from a Taylor Swift song. I cannot believe I just quoted Taylor Swift up here. But I did it. I'm sorry. Anyway, there are 5 areas in your life that might have accumulated baggage or dirt and dust, and you ought to shake it off, okay? We're going to cover them 1 by 1, and I promise it won't take all morning, just till early afternoon. Everybody fails at one time or another, right? We've all failed. But God uses people who understand that failure isn't fatal and failure isn't final. You're going to fall down at times in your life. We've all been there, done that. The thing that separates a wise person from a wicked person is that the wise person gets back up. The Bible says, though a righteous man falls 7 times, he will get up, but the wicked will stumble into ruin. That's from Proverbs 24:16. Thomas Edison once worked for months to find a filament that would burn more than a few seconds in his light bulb. He tried over 700 different kinds of filaments, and they all failed. A reporter asked him, "It must be frustrating to work so hard and see so little results." And Edison replied, "Oh, I have lots of results. I know 700 things that won't work." And it's true, and that's the right attitude to have. The Bible is full of stories of personal failure. Abraham was a liar, but he shook off the dust and became the father of a great nation. Moses was a murderer, But he shook off the dust and became a great leader. David was a womanizer and an accessory to murder, but he shook it off to finish strong. Peter, the apostle Peter, cursed and denied Jesus three times in one night. But he repented and shook off the dust and became the leader of the first church in the world. Sure, you failed. We've all failed. But don't let that slow you down. Failure is as much part of life as dying in taxes. I had to work taxes into a sermon too. Shake off the dust and move on. How about broken relationships? Did you hear about the twin brothers who hated each other? Their father was a wealthy businessman. The younger twin was wicked and devious. He manipulated his old father and cheated his older brother out of the family fortune. The other older brother was filled with rage and vowed to take revenge on this injustice that he suffered. He publicly announced that he would destroy his backstabbing younger twin. So the younger brother moved the business out of town and his older brother pursued him. This is not a story from today's Wall Street Journal. Well, they don't put one out on Sunday. It's not out of Friday's Journal either. It's the story of Jacob and Esau, straight out of the Bible. The sons of Isaac and Rebekah. Esau was furious and chased Jacob around for 20 years and finally got to confront him. But now the younger brother had met God and God had changed his life. Instead of being arrogant and greedy, the younger twin was humble and remorseful. When they finally met up, Esau had 400 soldiers ready to slaughter Jacob and his family. But Jacob had changed. In fact, God had changed his name from Jacob, which meant grabber, to Israel, which means Prince of God. And Jacob approached his brother and said, "I am sorry. I was wrong. Will you forgive me? Can we be reconciled?" Esau started weeping and embraced his brother. They both shook off the dust of a broken relationship. Do you have a broken relationship with somebody? It might be a friend, family member, former spouse. If reconciliation is possible, you should seek it. But it takes two people to be reconciled. I know that, and you know that, and it may not be possible. But you can do what you can to forgive that person and shake the dust off and move on. I'm also going to introduce the term Fido to you right now, and I'll explain more about Fido in a little while. What about holding a grudge? Has someone wronged you in the past? The Bible says to be careful that you don't miss the grace of God by allowing a root of bitterness to grow up in you. Bitterness begins as a small root of resentment, but it can grow into a hedge of hatred. Bitterness is an acid that will destroy its container, and bitterness hurts the person who carries it more than the person who caused it. I can attest to that. There's a story about a man who hated his neighbor and carried bitterness and resentment toward him. In this story, the bitter man met Zeus and asked him to grant him a wish. Apparently Zeus is into that. This is internet research. I don't know if this is the factual story. You will recognize it here at some point. And Zeus said, "I'll grant you any wish that you want. The only stipulation is that what I grant you, I will grant your neighbor twice as much as what you ask. So if you ask me for $100, I'm going to give your neighbor $200. And so the bitter man thought about this for a minute, but his bitterness was so intense that he made this request of Zeus. He said, "Fine, I ask you to make me blind in one eye." So he got even with his neighbor, and it only cost him half as much. Is that the way you want to go through life? Maybe you're carrying a load of dirty, dusty bitterness toward a person or perceived injustice in your past, but is that the way to really deal with it? Now, shake it off, move on, Fido. Shake off the dust of unforgiveness. Is there someone who has wronged you in the past and you haven't forgiven them? It might be the same person we were just thinking about in the previous example. The same person who put what we talked about in a broken relationship. When Jesus taught us the model prayer, he said, "Remember, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." We use the term debts here, but it's the same concept. Forgive those who have wronged us, just as we have forgiven them. I've sometimes heard bitter people say, I can never forgive that person for what they did to me. And I always think, wow, I sure hope you never need the forgiveness of God, which we all, of course, do. Sometimes you'll hear people say, forgive and forget. That's a bit misleading because forgiving isn't the same thing as forgetting. Or they'll say, I'll forgive you, but I won't forget. Well, outside of brain damage, senility, or hypnosis, chances are you won't forget it anyway. But when you hear someone say, I'll forgive you, but I won't forget, what it really says is, I'm going to say you're forgiven, but I'm still going to hold it against you. For the rest of my life, I'm going to hold it against you. But that's not forgiveness at all. That's just saying the words. That's being hypocritical. We tend to forget all kinds of things, but isn't it interesting that we have total recall when somebody wrongs us? Forgetting is passive, but forgiveness is an active decision. The word actually does mean to release. So when you choose to forgive someone, you release him or her from your desire to punish or hurt them for what they did to you. Or perhaps for some of you today, the dust is that you haven't forgiven yourself for something. God has forgiven you, but you're still carrying around a dusty load of guilt. Someone said when you forgive others, it's your gift of grace to them. And when you forgive yourself, it's your gift of grace to yourself. Is there a spirit of unforgiveness lingering on in you today? Fido. Shake off the dust and move on. How about rejection? You know, we started this about Jesus and his rejection in his own hometown. The people grown up with him just, or the people he'd grown up around, just couldn't accept the fact that he was the Messiah. Imagine God in the flesh standing right there in front of them, and they rejected him. I think this is the issue Jesus faced when he returned to Nazareth. People just couldn't deal with the Jesus they had seen grown up, who had worked as a carpenter. And some of you understand how this works. You know those little boys or kids that you witnessed growing up, the things they did, the things they burned, the things they blew up, the things they wrecked, the people they hurt. You can't forget about it. The ones that were always up to no good, they'll always be in that way in your mind. Perhaps one is an attorney today, and maybe the other is a banker, but you still just can't trust them because you remember what they were like growing up. But we do know Jesus simply shook the dust off their rejection and moved on within his community and his ministry. He didn't curse them or call down fire on them. He just shook off their rejection and moved on. Chances are good that you've suffered rejection in your past. I know I have. Just as there are people who didn't receive the disciples, there are people in your past who have held up a hand and said, I don't want you in my life. If you're divorced, you know what I'm talking about. Perhaps it was a family member or a friend that did that. Just do what Jesus told the disciples to do. Shake the dust off and move on. It's okay. So, wrapping things up, there's a guy named, a Vietnam veteran who was wounded, named Cleve McClary. He lost an eye and an arm fighting for our country in Vietnam. He lives in South Carolina now, gives inspirational speeches, and uses the term Fido. Okay, it's not a dog, not a name of a dog, it's a term. It stands for forget it and drive on. Shake off the dust and move on. Forget it and drive on. Take one of these and put it in your vocabulary and keep it with you. And use it anytime you need to move on, to drive on from any situation that's got you down. To simplify your life, remember Jesus' simple approach to ministry. Go out and tell people the good news. Remember Jesus' simple approach to possessions. Pack light for the journey of life. You don't need much because you can't take it with you, they say. And most of all, the best way to recover from failure is to shake off the dust and move on. Just like Cleve McClary said, Fido. Move on. You may be carrying around baggage from your past, and God's word for you today is to get up, shake off the dust, and move on. Have you failed morally? Go and sin no more, and then shake off the dust and move on. Have you failed relationally? Shake off the dust and move on. Amen. As you are able, if you'd please stand and sing hymn number 106, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name.